Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Come on. What's up, everybody? Yeah, I'm not doing announcements today, I know. I just want to start with the cool story of how I got to what I'm going to speak on tonight, because it was cool. And I believe God's in every little aspect of what we do. If you're a believer, I believe that's how we walk. God is in every little thing. So a few weeks back, I was supposed to speak, and then something came up. And I had to bow out, but I had prepped and prepared and learned a lot of stuff about Paul's transformation. That's what I was going to speak on. And something came up and I wasn't able to do so. And then I get word earlier this week from Pastor Josh. He goes, hey, you're going to speak if you're willing. And I go, yeah. And instantly the laziness in me, the Justin, the little high schooler that didn't clean his room, that person within me goes, awesome, I got that message that I had ready. It's already prepped. Don't got to put the study time in or anything, right? I can come and speak that. And immediately, I didn't even get to go into prayer. I start just hearing it in my spirit. You can't preach that message. That's not for tonight. And I go, come on, man, I'm ready. But it's not for tonight. And he tells me tonight, I talk with the children's pastor and leader, Evan Bell, and we talk about putting God first in every aspect of our lives. And we get into a conversation about it, and boom, it sparks from there. And that's where my lesson is going to go. But I have to start with prayer. I wanted you guys to know where this message came from first. But I'm going to start with prayer, because without them, I'm nothing. I will remind you guys again. I like to remind you when I'm up here. I was the kid that failed multiple English classes because there was a speech involved that you had to get up in front of people and talk. And I went, okay, give me the F. I'm not going to do that. And then God calls me to do this. And I'm like, okay, you're funny. But clearly, I can't do this, you guys. It's the Heavenly Father that we serve and worship. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you. I pray right now, God, as our nation is in a crazy time, Lord, I think it's important that we focus on you and you alone. It's too much confusion, too much division. Father, we ask that we can take this time right now and focus in on you and how you want to speak to us, how you want to speak to our people. Father, remove my opinions, remove my own thoughts, and make them yours. I surrender. In Jesus' name, everyone said? Amen. Putting God first. I'm a father first, so I use my kids a lot, and God uses my kids a lot to teach me something. You see, I'm that person that has friends that go and buys dirt bikes, motorcycles, street bikes, Harleys. I'm getting to that age where I see that and I go, ooh, I could see myself riding a street bike. I could see myself doing it. And then the father in me who puts my kids before my own wants and desires, and this is not a shun to anyone who does ride a motorcycle. This is for me because I'm reckless and I would crash the moment I got it. But for me, I go, I'm not going to get one. That'll be my retirement gift. When my kids are able to be self-sufficient and they move on, they're in college, they can pay their own bills. When that happens, then I'll get on a bike when they can survive without dad being here possibly. That's the only time I'll try to get my brain to the point that I would get on a bike like that. And it's just who I am. It's just what God has told me to do. Now, that's me putting my kids first. I've also made the big mistake when I fall in love. I'm married to my wife. That wasn't the big mistake. This was not it. My wife is amazing. She literally texted me before I came out here and said, me and the kids just got done praying for you. Fellas, find a good wife who's praying. Amen, amen, and amen. It just gave me so much peace. But back in the day when I would pursue women, which was a big struggle for me, I would make them, of course, whoever I'm pursuing at that point became my God, became the most important priority in my life. It's not even at all how it's supposed to be. I'm married to a godly woman right now who encourages and prays for me, and she still is not supposed to be number one. It's God. Thank you. I would always put them first to the point that I caught myself. I like basketball. I enjoy basketball. I can enjoy football from time to time. I even can play a little bit of tennis. But the girl I was pursuing was from a Spanish family, and all they did was play soccer. What did I do? Yeah, I play soccer. Duh. And I transformed myself, and I try to become this soccer guy. I sign up for their family soccer team, and I'm out there trying to look like I play soccer, and I don't look like I play soccer. And it just wasn't me. Of course, that relationship never worked out because I wasn't being myself and I couldn't transform myself into something I am not. But what I'm going to share with you guys tonight is when we try to transform ourselves, and we're even more, when God transforms us, he's transforming us into something we're supposed to be, not something we're not. When he created us perfect. He said it is good when he made mankind, and he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. And when he created us, he knew, he had to have known, we were going to be flawed. So I want to leave that thought with you as we jump into Daniel. And I want that thought to be with you as we jump into Daniel. We're going to be in Daniel 6. Daniel 6. If you guys could pop my first verses up. And I'm going to preface this. Daniel is somewhat of a political figure. He's gained respect. He's gained some hierarchy. He's gained just that level in life where if you got that old man in your life who you just respect, he's kept noble character, that's where Daniel is in this point. But he's got respect from the political view, and he's got respect from the godly realm. He's got both. He's a good man of God, what I think a man of God should be. And let's look at this. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom. Continue. And over them, three commissioners of whom Daniel was one. So he's high up. He's got a little bit of stature. That these satraps might be accountable to them and that the king might not suffer loss. Then Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And before I move on, I want to stop there. If we are to become men and women of God, this extraordinary spirit we must possess. Now, for me, that's the Holy Spirit within him, correct? It's the Holy Spirit within him. If he lives in you, do you possess, do you show an extraordinary spirit? We're in a weird time and season, this COVID season. It's like a taboo word. We're in a weird time where people are going to be looking at us, the people who say we are walking with Jesus, the Holy Spirit. If that is you, I'm talking to you. An extraordinary spirit should be about us. It says he distinguishes himself. That means he's set apart. That means he's different. That means people looked at him going through the same situations that other people were going through, and he carried himself differently. Are we carrying ourselves differently, church? Do we look different from the world? And if you're in the world right now and you want something different, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has it for you. I'm telling you. This extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. You see this? Daniel was a little countercultural. He wasn't really in line totally with everything that the king was with, but he gave favor to Daniel because of his godly stance, because of his character. He gave this man favor. Then you're going to see some haters come out. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to the government affairs. But they could not find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption. Inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence and corruption was found within him. Continue. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against Daniel unless..." This is where I'm going to have to stop big right after this. "Unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." This is what this means. Before we go forward, go back to that verse, please. They wanted Daniel to break a rule, break a law. They're following this. Has anyone ever experienced when you turn from your wrongs and you try to start doing right and the people around you are just like, "I'm going to wait for this person to mess up and go back to who they used to be." They can't fully be changed. This is what Daniel's dealing with. And they're trying to look for grounds to accuse this man. And he is living flawlessly. I'm not preaching that you just have to be perfect. But he is pursuing God and living a godly life. And they couldn't find anything. So in order to get him to break rules, Daniel was such a man of God that they figured that the only way to get this man to break a rule is make it be something that would be against his God, something that that he could not contain himself to follow the rule. So they make a rule. We're gonna read that they make a rule that you can't pray to any other God other than King Darius. And I want to pause for a second. We are in a crazy season. COVID has been something that no one has ever seen. It is very real. As Pastor Ron has said multiple times, it is something we have to respect. But we cannot let it be an excuse to let our walk with God lack. I don't know what that means. Amen. I don't know what that means for all of you here. But you see, in this story, we're going to find out that Daniel is given a great excuse to let his prayer life, which he holds of high respect, lack. There's a rule made that you can't pray. There's a rule made that you can't pray to your God. If we catch you praying to your God, that's it. You're in trouble. You're going to the lion's den, as a lot of us know, right? And Daniel, who's a man of his word, who's a man that follows rules, who's a man that works in the government, a man of rules, goes, I'm gonna have to think about this. I'm gonna have to think this one through. I'm gonna have to talk to God through this. The very thing that they told him he couldn't do, he goes straight to the Lord. He gets caught going straight to the Lord. I say this to you guys. We are the church, VBF. We cannot, everyone watching, we will not let this stop all the great that God is trying to do. We will not. And we have to come together and believe this. We have to come together and stop causing division and stop thinking so-and-so scared, so they don't have God in them, they're wearing masks all the time. Or so-and-so doesn't care at all, they're too reckless. Stop it. I know a lot of us are fed up with political stuff. Well, I'm fed up with church stuff. We need to worship Jesus, him alone, and lead people to him. It fixes everything. It's written 100 times. It fixes it all. And Daniel knows this. Daniel knows this. So for some of you guys out there, if you're contemplating, if you haven't been to church in a while, I'm talking to you guys out there. If you haven't been to church in a while because COVID and you're playing it safe and you have someone at risk, more power to you. But if you've lacked and you haven't jumped in a Zoom Bible study, or you've closed your Bible study and you haven't turned it into an internet thing, and you're just letting these things, these pillars in your life that kept your relationship with God going, if you haven't adapted and done it through technology, then it's time for you to get bold, pray, and find a way to not forsake fellowship. That's up to you. I'm not here to share my opinion on how you can do it, because I don't want to lead anyone astray. I just want to let you guys know God's word says you can't forsake this stuff. It's what it says. We have to find out how to be encouraged with one another. No matter what the rules and regulations are put on us, we have to find a way and do it right. And I praise VBF. We've done an amazing job. I remember when it first happened, they said we couldn't sing and came out. And of course, we're going to worship to God. You right, guys? But we need that same spirit, you guys. We got to fight because there's people hurting. There's people hurting. There's people hurting. Let's see what Daniel does. Next verse. Then these three commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. Now jump to my, there we go. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce the injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Jump to my next verse. Go ahead. There we go. Now, look at the man of God himself. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered into his house. Now, in the roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, and he had been doing previously. He held God as his highest authority. That's my first point. If you could put my point up. God must be the top authority in our lives. There's a lot of authority figures. We have parents. We have husbands. We have wives sometimes, right? Wives, we have husbands. We have all these things. We have bosses. We have teachers. We have people who are authority figures in our life who we must respect. But there comes a point, if it stops us from worshiping, we have to figure out how to continue to get to our God. I'm not telling you guys to be rebellious. I'm not telling you guys to be foolish. I'm telling you guys to find a way. What is your way to continue worshiping your God? What is it for you? It's different for a lot of people. Some people can go to a church that's open. Some people can do Zoom Bible studies. Mighty Men, I know Adrian is out there somewhere. They haven't shut down completely. We're doing Zoom Bible studies. We're doing call Bible studies. I have a story that I want to share with you from the youth. I almost fell victim to this. We do a Zoom Bible study with your junior hires. I send out a text through Zoom, and what they're supposed to do is click on the thing, and they join in, and they can do Bible study with us with their faces just like they do with their teachers for school, right? I send it out. I click on it. I always join from other links to make sure it works, and I'm joining from like three different phones. I'm in the Zoom Bible study, but not a single kid can get in. It's giving us trouble. We're having technical difficulties, and I get defeated. Evan was in the office with me and saw this. I get defeated, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to call it. There's no point of going forward. I sit my phone down. I'm canceling it. I'm moving it to tomorrow. I just give up on the night, basically. And then God starts stirring in my heart, right? So then I go, okay, I can't just let them get nothing. So I text the kids who were trying to join individually. I say, hey, read Romans 1. This is what we're in. And I want you guys to tell me what you got out of it, and I'll give you a Starbucks card. And I want to read a response from a young lady just to show you the important. When we listen to God's voice and go forward and push, you don't know what it's going to cause. And this young lady ends up getting an understanding of a chapter that a lot of people her age probably don't understand, and she's going to be able to share this one day. So if you could pop that picture up for me, Sandy, I believe I gave it to you. It says, in Romans chapter 1, I think Paul's message is that he was trying to spread the gospel and praying to save as many lives as he could. The reason he was trying to spread the gospel was because the people did not turn to God. God would ignore them and at the gates of heaven, and Paul was a good person, so he prayed that they would turn to God so they would make it to heaven. Paul also wanted these people to stop doing bad things and sinning so much. My conclusion is that Paul was warning the people that they would get locked out of the gates if they didn't stop sinning. But God loves, and this is the part, this is why I post this, but God loves so he would save them if they turn to him. So she read, it's a tough chapter, and we don't hold back with your kids. If you know Romans 1, you can take that down. It's a tough chapter, and I love that she got the summary of it, that there's sin in this world, there's tough things, there's heaven, there's being absent from God, but God loves so much that he will give them a chance to turn to them at all times. And if I would have chose to let any little circumstance stop me from moving forward and just give up, this young lady wouldn't have got to have that experience. It's real small, real simple, but those things are happening to us daily, church. Every single day we get a chance, God tugs on our heart and says, you should do this. Listen to that still small voice. That is the Lord. And it's not Justin who's special. We all can affect this world like that by doing what God has called us to do. I promise. Before I move forward and go into what happens to him in the lion's den, I want to point out another thing that has been happening that I've been seeing, phone calls I've been taking. I took one yesterday that hurt my heart. It's a man who's been dealing with, struggling with addiction of all sorts. He told me, he opened up and he was free about all the addictions he was dealing with. And he had this feeling of being oppressed and being down, and he couldn't get out of this dark cloud he was in. And there's a lot of people who are in this dark cloud. And then while I'm prepping this message today, a friend texts me, an old friend who we've been together for a long time, is one of my road buddies. And he texts me, and he's going through a tough time dealing with some psychological problems, dealing with some mental issues that are going on in his life. And he's lost some family members, and he's in this dark hole, and he said he just can't seem to see the light. And the isolation of this season is what has caused this. From the very beginning, remember way back in the beginning, I said, God made us and he said, this is good. Mankind is good. And what did he say? What did he say later? It's not good for man to be alone. Isolation. isolation, separation, it makes room for us to forget that God is with us. You see, when we're lonely, it's not the people we're missing, it's that feeling of being alone. Church, we are never alone, never. Holy Spirit, our helper, is with us. God is with us. The blood of Jesus is covering us. We are never alone. So if you are in that point, if you are at that season of feeling like you're isolated and feeling like you're alone during this time, I'm telling you right now, stand up, get up, and fight it. Fight it. Dig in your word. Log, if you're not going anywhere, log into every church you can, log into every service we post. We post Monday devotions for you guys every single day. Log into those and get your walk sparked up. The devil wants you living in the dark, depressive state. God wants you shining. It says a city on a hill cannot be hidden. That's what I love about during this Christmas time. I drove through the mountains, and there was just all these lights. We were going to Bear Valley, and there was all these Christmas lights. And you could just see them in the hills. It was a beautiful thing. And I literally thought of that verse. City on a hill cannot be hidden. The light of Jesus within you cannot be hidden. When you are feeling down, when you are feeling like there's no out, when you are feeling like Daniel when he gets in his lion's den, you have a helper standing beside you. I couldn't imagine where Daniel goes for worshiping and praying to God. Daniel gets sent into a lion's den. And me as a man, I'm trying to think, okay, do I grab the lion by his neck? Do I have a weapon? What do I do? How am I going to survive this? And we all know men, we don't want to admit it, or maybe it's just my pride. I would like to think I could get out, but I'm not getting out of that. And he's able to sit and survive and not get attacked. And it says favor was upon him. Favor was upon him. And that's the very thing he was praying. In Daniel, it says he was praying for God's favor. That's what he was praying for when he got caught. I want you to look at the verse of what the king, the very king who he was supposed to be worshiping, says about Daniel. If you can go to that for me. Then as soon as the king heard the statement, he was deeply distressed. This is when the king Darius finds out that Daniel is caught up worshiping God and has to go to the den. He was deeply depressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, kept exerting himself to rescue him. Stop right there. I don't read this as King Darius at all. I read this as when J2 was in the club, when J2 was addicted to every pill that there was, when J2 was addicted to marijuana, when I finally gave up and said, God, I surrender, I'm going to worship you. In that moment, God was deeply distressed, and he set his mind on delivering Justin. He set his mind on delivering you guys when you were down, when you were hurt. If you're watching and you're down right now, he set his whole heart and everything he has to come get you. That's what he does. And he kept exerting himself to rescue him. That's what Jesus does. We can't reach a point where he can't pursue us, you guys. And we got to take on that spirit. We have to keep pursuing these lost people. We can't just sit. We can't just not be the church. We are God's hands and feet. Find ways. Get creative. The word for us in junior high is adapt. Adapt. And whatever this new season, whatever this new world we live in looks like, find ways to make yourself be set apart and still show the love of God and still show that you put God first. I want to get into Jesus' story. I'm going to skip Hebrews 10 right now, you guys. Go to Matthew for me. This is Jesus' temptation when he's alone. And this is a point where I think a lot of us get to during the season that we're at in life. It says this, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. And stop, I want to go back to that verse. There's something that God showed me in this that I want to say, and I don't be irresponsible with it. Some of us can't do at-home church. Some of us just can't, and it isolates us and gets us to this point where the tempter wants to come get you. And I don't know who it's for, but you may be out there. You got to figure it out. If you can go to the store and get your bread and get your water and get your milk you can go to a church. Please mind that I said be responsible with it. Figure it out. Find a way. Be respectful of the rules that have been given to us, just as Daniel was. But set your line. Set your line and decide where you will allow yourself not to worship God. And that should be never. You will always find a way to worship God. And I'm not saying that means you go and you be irresponsible and you go to church and you go to a place where everyone's all huddled together. That's irresponsible, you guys. But you figure it out. And you guys know, whoever I'm talking to, you know what I mean. And for some of us, we can do at home church. It's not for you. But I know there's some people out there that the devil has lied to you and allowed this season in life to paralyze you. And it's time to say no more. And it's time to say, I will worship God, whatever it looks like. You're going to turn it on every morning. You're going to go to a church. You're going to start your own Bible study that's safe, that's on Zoom, that's in a parking lot, that's at a park. Figure it out. I don't know how you can work within the rules. I'm not here to be a rule giver. I don't know how it works. But you figure it out and make God a priority. Do not let the devil win. Do not. Next verse. Then the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels orders concerning you. And on their hands, they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Jesus always has the best replies. On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Remember Daniel? Daniel experienced this, you guys. Then Jesus said, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. That needs to be some of our prayers, period. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. And I want to stop right there. Block out everything I just read and just read this part. Angels came and ministered to him and comforted him. There's a word in there that says he comforted them. If there's people out there that needs God's comfort, that needs an angel to come and say, it's gonna be all right. I learned this from my wife. My wife tells me sometimes you don't need to, I think guys know this, you don't need to fix it. You just need to listen. Just need to comfort. Just need to give me a hug. How many guys have heard that before? Every guy out there. Now, it's a saying, and us guys are too prideful to admit sometimes, but sometimes you just need God to love and comfort you and let you know that even though you can't pay your bills right now, it's going to be okay. Even though things don't look all right, even though the nation is crazy, it's going to be okay. Sometimes you need God to tell you that. And that's what he told me today, because I go, God, why did you change what I was supposed to preach today? Why did you change? Because he wanted me to make sure I got to the lion's den to know that just because you're Christian, just because you're saved, just because you give your life to the Lord, doesn't mean it's going to be all peachy and everything is great. Guess what? You may get tossed into a lion's den. It may get real bad, but you're going to be okay. You're going to get out of this because why? I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. God is with you. Church, we need to know that. If he is with us, who can be against us? So that's why we must put him first. Tell me that there's no friend, there's no wife, there's no family member that has your back like the God I just told you about. Now I'm going to move forward. I want to share this verse with you. If you could pull up, where am I at? There we go. Proverbs 25:28. This is going to seem random, but I put it in there for a reason. I believe this was a key. This was a key for who Daniel was. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. I want to share this next verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Before I move to my next one, that verse is amazing. I'm bringing these up because remember what got Daniel to the place he was at. You don't just wake up and know that God is by your side. You don't. You have to wake up and pursue him. And when you pursue him, you will find that he's been pursuing you the whole time, and he'll remind you that he is by your side. Daniel had this self-control. He was able to fit within the political realm and follow their rules and their customs. He was able to get in there, but he knew where to draw his line. He had this thing we like to call discipline. Discipline is something, for me, was the hardest part to learn as a Christian. Remember, you guys need to remember, I was a person that I would wake up and I'd have a bottle of alcohol by my bed and I would start the day with that. Horrible way to start the day. Then I would call my friends and drink some more. Then we would get whatever drugs we could get. And that's how we pursued our day. And God, when I find out that I want to put God first, God says you have to put those things behind you, right? He starts saying that. And not because God's this person that goes, I just want to take all the fun out of your life, J2. Just everything that you were doing, everything that you like, I want to ruin it. No. He's telling me that there's something greater. If you put me first, if you put me before your drink, if you put me before the women, if you put me before all these things, trust me, I have something amazing for you. And it was a struggle, you guys. It was a struggle to let go. And it happened one thing at a time, one thing at a time. And I'm starting to learn that discipline is the beginning. It's the key to it all. When you can do the small, he will continue and continue to trust you with more. So I challenge you. I believe Daniel got to this place by being disciplined. He knew when they told him to worship someone else, he wasn't going to do it. Find out where in your life do you need to be disciplined. For some of us men and ladies, we need to stop putting up with a certain man or woman. For some of us, we need to put down a certain addiction. For some of us, we need to put down some pride. For some of us, we need to start training ourselves up and humbling ourselves and reading the word. For some of us, we need to stop gossiping. For some, God is working on us all. The best part about being a Christian is we're all imperfect. So we are all in the same point of God is trying to work on this in my life. Humbly say it. God is trying to work on this in my life. That's where we're at. And when you start getting these little disciplines down, you will find that God will speak louder and louder and louder. And it's not that the works that are getting you into heaven. When I try to hear God's voice, it's not for my salvation. Jesus Christ covered that with the blood. Thank God. But I try to work and strive to be better, not perfect, so I can hear him and share what he's saying and share and make sure my heart is softened so I don't miss somebody that just needs a simple text or needs a hi. You have to set yourself apart, and it takes discipline. I read a story on one of the basketball players I like, Steph Curry. He shot and made 105 three-pointers in a row. That's for those who know basketball, this is an insane thing to do. It's unheard of. But I heard an announcer say, we're all going crazy over the 105. But the reason he's able to shoot 105 straight is because he's missed millions of threes. And that's the way he said it. And I was like, dang, the grind of trying and trying and trying till you could get so good at something that you could hit a three-pointer, which is one of the hardest shots in basketball, that many times in a row. I say that for my life. I've tried and missed the mark so many times, you guys. I will never stand up here and say I was a perfect person. I've tried to be a good pastor and failed. I've tried to be a good husband and failed. I've tried to be a good scholar, studier, and failed. But the thing that sets you apart, that distinguishes you, that shows that you have that Holy Spirit, when hard times and obstacles hit you, you pick yourself up and get back going. You cannot. You cannot let the trials and tribulations and temptations and everything we face in this life stop you from being every single thing that God has called you to be. He has called you guys to be so much. And I want to share with you what I shared with this friend, who I hope you're watching. When he told me he was down in a dark place, I had to get real with him and be a guy and be vulnerable and tell him something I never told him. Back when I had a party crew and I was doing all that weird stuff, he was the leader. When we had this weird little phase we were in when we were fighting everybody at parties and stuff, and he was the leader of that. He was the leader of men, and he's down to a very low place right now. And I had to humble myself and remind him, hey, back then, all of us, we looked up to you. And there's a lot of his friends who are doing well with the Lord, who are serving God and pushing forward. And I could see in his message, he's like, it's working for you guys. It's just not working for me. And I reminded him of his call, of his purpose, that you are a leader of men. You led us all. It was dark, but you led us. You led us all. So you have that gift in you. It just means your road is tougher. You just have to turn. When you make this turn and surrender, your story is going to be amazing. You're a leader of leaders. And some people need to hear that. That's not my job to tell everyone. That's my job to tell him. But you guys each have a person out there. You guys each have someone out there that you can encourage and remind them of their purpose in God. I had a friend that poured into me, that told me when I walked into a college group that you could be somebody, you could help me here. And it was the biggest change that I could ever experience in my life. And I want you guys to be that for someone. But you can't if you can't show that proper self-control. It wouldn't have meant that much that someone thought I was worthy of doing something if it wasn't a person of stature, a person like Daniel, a person that showed me that they were set apart. If you want to gain influence and change people's lives and lead them towards Christ, it starts with our own walks. We have to get it together. We have to surrender completely to the Lord and say, God, I want you to use me, so tell me what I need to give up. Tell me what I need to step away from. Tell me what I need to do to be better conduit for you. And I believe Daniel lived in this. He lived in prayer and asking for favor. I have these verses that I like to go to when I get in a bad place. When I get in a place where I feel like it's getting too tough. It says this. I didn't give these to you back room, don't panic. This was for my own. Let us not become weary in doing good. For in the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Put God first. Don't give up. Galatians 6:9. That's what that one is. Second one. God is our refuge. Strength and ever-present to help in trouble. Psalms 46:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. 1 Chronicles 16:34. There's a theme, you guys. If you pursue pleasing him, if you pursue chasing after God and do not give up, whatever that looks like for you guys, if you put him first and step into that calling and decide that you're not going to let this world, you're not going to let this government, you're not going to let family members, you're not going to let friends, you're not going to let anyone take you away from what God's calling you to do and be, when you reach that point, there's nothing that can stop you. His promises reign true, that you will reap a harvest, that friends and family who never knew Christ will come to Christ because of your strength, because of what they see in you, because they see that extraordinary spirit within you. And finally, I just want to encourage you guys that Jesus Christ has never, ever, ever, ever failed us once, correct? So when news gets chaotic like it is right now, when things go nuts, when bills look like they can't get paid, when family members look like they might be on their way out, when people are sick, when anything's going on, you must remember God has always been in control. He always will. And he's never surprised by these things. He is teaching us. He is in every situation. We are to look and say, God, what are you teaching me through this? So as the chaos is happening in the world right now, we are to say, God, what are you teaching me through this? And I'm here to share what he's teaching me, that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Where am I at with him? Because if it is going to all go down right now and the chaos is nuts, am I right with him? If I can't pay my bill and I'm put out on the streets, am I right with him? Because that's what matters when you get out there. Not that you didn't have the money. Say, am I right with him? Because it's just going to get better. Are you right with God? And if you are not, as a little middle schooler said, Jesus is waiting to give you a chance. He wants to see no one outside of the gates of heaven, not a single soul. So do not leave this church. Do not leave this online viewing without going, God, I surrender to you. I put you first, and I'm going to worry about the rest later. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, God. We as a church, we as a whole, we put you first. We're sorry wherever we have failed you, Father. We need, as a nation, as a church, as a people, we need to come to you humble on our knees and say, you are King. And wherever you want us to go, however you want us to act, we will do. I know there's people out there who need to surrender. Father, we pray you help them right now to surrender, to give it up. We bind up pride in the name of Jesus. Allow everyone to surrender and put you first in life. Father, we say, just as Jesus said, be gone. Get away from me. Satan, you have no realm in Bakersfield. Be gone. God, help us see clearly how we can be the church during this time, how we can be safe, how we can be respectable, but not compromise one bit our worship with you. And I pray, I believe you've been leading us correctly, Father. So please, please, please continue to lead this church. We thank you. We thank you for our pastors. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for everyone watching. We surrender. Jesus Christ, you are King. In Jesus' name, everyone said, thank you.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.